Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
As you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me once again to the wonderful text of Romans, Romans chapter number 8. Today, we are finishing up a series. This is part number 10 of Controlling the Flesh. If you called Pastor Deborah's message a part of that, then it's part number 11. Doesn't matter. We are concluding the series today, and it's just going to be rich and alive for your life. So far in this series, we learned some things. Learned about the fact that we can control the flesh. God has given us the ability, and it's a choice. And it's a hard choice, and it's a difficult choice, and we won't always make the right choice. But now we know that we can operate in the way that God has for us to operate. The past two messages have really been where the rubber meets the road. This is the practicum. This is the practical ways that we're going to apply the things that we've learned about the fact that we're married to Christ, that we're dead to sin, that we've moved on from the old life and the old man, and now we can step into the new life and the new man. I'm going to read to you Romans 8, verse number 8, down through verse number 13. We're going to pull some truths out as we go along. It says this in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 8. It says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now we just need to camp out there for a second, because we need to understand that when we are in the flesh, when we're in a carnal mindset, that that's not going to be pleasing to God. And really, if we get a hold of this truth, it will change our perspective on the way that we approach life. Because we're in a society that wants to live to please ourselves. It's all about the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. Whatever feels good to me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do me right now. I'm going to do what's best for my interests. And even if I have to step on somebody, or even if it's not what you think, I'm going to still go after the things that please my flesh. But in doing so, we're not going to be pleasing to God. That's why it's so important that we learn these truths. Verse number 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Really, we can know a person's life, whether they are a Christian or not, by whether or not they have the Spirit of God. Jesus said this, you'll know them by their what? Their fruits. And when you're in the Spirit is going to produce the fruit of His life in and through you. And that's how we'll know. Not that we can judge or criticize anybody. That's not what this is about. Really, it's just about discerning, hey, they have the Spirit of God. I can see fruit in their life, and therefore I know that they're His. They're not in the flesh, but they're in the Spirit. It says this in the rest of the verses. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. So we can tell, once again, we can know whether or not someone is in Christ, whether they're a Christian or not. Why? Whether or not they have the Spirit moving and flowing in their lives. Now, this is different than the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? When you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. But when you're baptized in the Spirit, you're saturated with the power, completely enveloped and submerged in His power. That's where the gifts and things like that. So I'm not talking about that, because sometimes people say, well, Pastor, are you saying that if I don't speak in tongues, I'm not saved? Not saying that at all. There are people who are saved, headed for heaven, have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them that will never speak in tongues. But there are others that are going to be baptized in the Spirit, receive the gift, go after it, and receive it and use that. And that's not the determining factor. The determining factor is whether or not you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And that's what takes place at salvation. There's that exchange, your Spirit for His Spirit. You currently are in Christ, and Christ currently is in you. You'll see this as we read that the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, are synonymous terms. The Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ is one and the same. Because remember, it's not three different gods, it's one God. And so Jesus sent His Spirit to live on the inside of us. And when you receive the Holy Spirit of salvation, now something happens. Now, the Bible says you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So you know that's a current reality? You, even though you're seated here in church, maybe you're seated at home watching online, you are also seated with Christ in heavenly places. How does that work, Pastor? It's because I'm in Him. But also, He's in me. Everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit goes. Why? Because He's living on the inside of me, in my heart. Same thing with everyone else who's born of the Spirit of God. Verse number 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, we define this term death. How do we define death as what? Separation. Is that right? And so it says the body is separated from the life of God. Why? Because of sin. Sin separates us from God. But notice it goes on to say, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Notice the Spirit is life. Doesn't impart life. The Spirit Himself is life. The Spirit is the God connection. That's what life really is. Life is only life when it's connected to God. Verse number 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, there's one interpretation of Scripture, but there are many applications of the Scripture. And as we interpret scripture, we have to interpret it within the context of what we're talking about. And so you can see that he says that if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. In other words, you have the ability by the power of the Holy Spirit to control the flesh. You can overcome when you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, presenting your members as instruments of righteousness. You can do this, all right? In fact, just tell yourself right now, I can do it. Oh, come on, say it with some conviction. I can do it. Because really, that's what this scripture is saying. It's saying if you have the Spirit of God in you, he's going to raise you up and give life to your immortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, there are other applications of this verse. One of the applications is that there is a resurrection that's coming. Oh my goodness, there's going to come a day when the eastern sky splits and Jesus returns with the sound of a trumpet and he's coming for his own. And oh my goodness, I'm going to lift my hands if I'm here on the earth and I'm going to fly away in glory. The Bible says that those who are here on the earth, when he returns, which guys, it's coming. I would not be surprised if this is the generation that gets to see the return of our Lord. And when he comes and when he calls his own and when that sound happens, the Bible says we will not all die, but we will all be changed and we will receive a new body. But don't think that you're going before the ones who are dead in Christ. They'll be raised up from the graves. The sea will give them up, and the dead in Christ will come forth, and we'll get a new body, and so we will be with him forever. There is a resurrection that's coming in by the Spirit of God that's in you. He'll give life, new life, eternal life, resurrection life to your mortal bodies. Either you'll get a new one, or your body that you're living in now will be changed, and there will be no sin nature. No more sorrow, no more suffering, no more pain, no more sickness. My goodness, it is going to be perfected in that moment eternally. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. But not only that day in the sweet by and by when I fly away, oh glory, my goodness, it's going to happen. But you know, here and now, there's another application of that verse. In fact, the old King James, the OG KJV, I call it, because it's the original gangster. Come on now, we're in San Bernardino. But the original King James Version says this. It says that he will quicken your mortal bodies. You know that because of the Spirit of God living in the inside of you, that God can heal your physical body now, today. You don't have to live in pain. That's why the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all of our sins, yes, but who does something else, who heals all of your diseases. You don't have to put up with that sickness. You don't have to stay in pain all your life. You don't have to have chronic illness and keep battling that. That's not just your cross to bear. No, Jesus bore the cross so that you could be healed, so that you could live free of that. And by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, you were healed. Not just spiritually, but physically, the Spirit of God will quicken or give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Verse number 12, therefore, brethren, in other words, the therefore is there for a reason. It's there because of what I just said about the Spirit of God living on the inside of you and controlling the flesh and raising you up. My goodness, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Notice, we have an obligation to live for God. We have an obligation to give everything to God. Sometimes people say, well, I'll give God just a little bit. No, you're a debtor. Jesus gave everything for you. God didn't withhold his only son. Therefore, we're debtors. We have a price that we need to pay to God. It's a debt that we owe. We're debtors. And just in case we get it twisted, he says, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We're debtors to God, but not to the flesh. We're debtors to the Spirit. We owe God everything, our very life itself. But you don't owe the flesh nothing. And yet, I find that there's a people, even people who call themselves Christians, that say, Pastor, but I have needs. No, you need to serve God. You need to give God everything. You're not indebted to your flesh. I don't care if it's screaming at you like a little toddler who wants what it wants. Give it a spanking and put it to bed. You do not need to serve the flesh. You are not obliged to give in to the desires and the passions and the lusts of your flesh. It's time to grow up, church. It's time to be mature. It's time to say no to those things and yes to the things of God, because we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will what? Die. You'll be separated from the life of God. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? Live. You'll live the God kind of life. You'll live a life that's connected. You'll live a life that's empowered. But it's worth repeating that God is not pleased when we operate in the flesh. Truth be told, though, we're not happy either. Anybody experienced that? when you sin, when you mess up, when you're in the flesh, you realize, you know what, I thought this would be fun, but it's not fun. Bible tells us sin has its pleasure for a season. You might think going into it, man, this is going to be great. And then afterwards, you're like, why did I do that? See, because really, if you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and you're doing things that grieve the Spirit, you will experience that same grief yourself. You'll feel it. The Bible says that there will be a godly sorrow which leads to repentance, which leads to everlasting life. See, you're not under condemnation, guilt, and shame. Those are the things that Jesus dealt with at the cross, and the devil would love to lump that on you. But when you're in Christ, when you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you'll feel his displeasure. Like, ugh, man, that's not right. I know I've thought that saying those words to that person would make me feel good, but it didn't make me feel good. I know that I thought watching this movie that I know I shouldn't watch would make me feel good, but man, I feel dirty now. I feel like I've been defiled. Ugh. Man, I thought that, you know, drinking myself into a stupor would make me forget, but I haven't forgot a thing, and I still feel horrible. Why? Because the Spirit of God is now on the inside of you. I'll tell you, I've had people that have been drug addicts tell me that, man, they had their last fix, and then they got saved, and then they thought, man, I'll go get another fix, and it didn't work. And they realized, oh my goodness, this isn't fun anymore. I don't like this anymore. Or they got drunk, or they got high, and all of a sudden they realized, man, this is not it. I found something better that gives me a better, more lasting joy, more lasting pleasure in Christ. I don't need this to get high anymore. I've got a high that the world can't touch. I got a high that drugs can't give. I got something that God has for me. See, if you're really a Christian, then you can never be content living in carnality. That's what the book of 1 John tells us. It says that we cannot sin. In other words, we can't stay in unrepentant sin, is really what it's talking about. And as we saw last week, the battle is where we set our minds. Really, it's about your mindset. Remember, we said this, that we got to choose to get the God mindset. Not only to get it, but to keep the God mindset. Because it's easy to get distracted or deterred. But then the devil's going to come in, and there's going to be things, these rebellious castles, these things that come against us, strongholds that want to imprison us, and our thoughts want to take us captive, but we have to take them captive, and we have to fight from the God mindset. Now, let me just rewind your thinking for a moment, because again, in this series, we've been talking about the fact that we are a three-part being. And for those of you that are just joining us and you haven't been a part of this series yet, you need to understand something about yourself in order to understand what we're going to talk about today. You are a three-part being, just like God is a three-part being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God, yet three expressions of his person. And you are made in the image of God. The same thing applies, that if you can't understand God, just take a look at yourself. You are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Not three yous, just one you with three expressions of your person. Same thing. You are a spirit. Remember when God created man there in the garden, what did he do? He stooped down and he formed a man, but it didn't have any life until he breathed the breath of God into him. The God breathing was the word of God that went in, because the word of God is spirit and it is life. God breathed life into man. Man became a living being. Therefore, the real you is the you on the inside of you that if you died, would live on eternally. Either in heaven or in hell. That's the spirit man. The Bible calls it the hidden man of the heart. That's you on the inside of you. You are a spirit who has a soul. You have a mind. You have will. You have emotions. You have thoughts. You have things that you're thinking about, things that you're pondering, dwelling on. You have lusts and passions and desires, things that are twirling around in your thinking. That's the soul realm. But you live in a body. This is your suit, right? Not bad in and of itself, but within these members now, we understand that there is a sin nature. And all have sinned. All of us have participated in this. All of us, from the bloodline of Adam down, each and every one of us, until God broke and his son Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, born in the fullness of time. And he lived the perfect life for us so that now we could be born again. Not our physical man. See, our physical man will be renewed like we talked about. But our spirit is renewed. We are born again. That's the hidden man of the heart that was dead, separated from the life of God, but now comes alive, connected to the life of God. So you are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. And I want you to notice that the body and the spirit, notice there's a little line there, the arrows that go to and from them, but there's a circle with a line going through. It means they're incompatible. They don't play nice together. That the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians that the body lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. They're at enmity with one another so that we don't do the things that we want to do. That's what Romans chapter 7 was all about. Things I want to do, I don't do. But the things that I'm not doing are the very things that I should be doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. And the struggle is real. And that's why we battle, is because we understand that we can control the flesh. How do we do that? Well, we do it through the battle in our mind. And where we put our minds, where our mind is set, is where we're going to either win or lose this battle with the flesh. Not the New Age thinking. Sometimes New Age people say, well, whatever problems you have, it's because you thought it up. No, sometimes problems happen because someone made a bad choice. Not because of your thinking. It could be someone else's poor choices that you're now reaping where they've sown. You say, well, that's not fair. It's not. But that's life. It's the way it is. Somebody puts a building together and they do faulty construction work, and because someone didn't do their job and someone didn't expect it, if that building falls on someone and kills them, that's not because you manifested that or you thought that up. No, that's because someone didn't do their job. And things happen in life, and that's why we need to understand this is not New Age thinking, this is biblical teaching. And I'll show this to you from the scriptures. Wherever you put your mind, if you put your mind in the spirit, then you'll live life in the spirit. But if it's in the flesh, you'll live a carnal life that you can't please God with. And so when we elevate the spirit, something takes place. Notice you can control the body. You can corral it. You can present your members as instruments of righteousness. You can do this if you will elevate the spirit. When your mind gets on the things of the spirit, now you can control the body. But if you get in the flesh and your mind stays on your body, notice you cancel out the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all a choice of what we will live in. Remember, it says those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. We have a choice where we're going to live in. Everybody say in. We can either live in the flesh or in the spirit. Let me show this to you in Ephesians chapter number 4. Turn there with me. While you're turning there, let me just mention about Ephesians chapter 4. This is one of those chapters that changed my life. This is one of those chapters that as I was reading the book of Ephesians, all of the lofty concepts of the first three chapters came to a head and practically started playing out in Ephesians chapter 4. And I started reading this going, man, I need to change. I need to do something with this. This is amazing. And I would encourage you, if you haven't read the book of Ephesians, sit down with a pen and paper and the Holy Spirit and say, God, teach me the book of Ephesians. And just read it through. You can read it through in one sitting. It won't even take you an hour. Okay? But when you get to chapter 4, recognize the practical ways that God wants us to live out the things that he has placed in his word. An amazing, wonderful chapter. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse number 17 and read down through verse number 24. A lot of verses, a lot of scriptures, but remember, you're smart. I told you that last week. I proved it to you last week. You're smart. Okay? So you got this. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse number 17. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Now stop right there for a second. Anybody remember what it means when you see in the Bible that it says to walk? Anybody remember that? To live out your life, right? See, when you hear walk in love, it's saying to live out your life as a life of love. When you hear walk in the Spirit, it means to live out your life as a life in the Spirit. So here he says that you should no longer walk or live out your life as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Now the Gentiles was the name that the Jewish people had for anybody who is not a Jew. So the Ephesians were not Jews. They were Gentiles. So he says, I don't want you to live like the rest of the Gentiles live. In other words, he's saying, don't live like the rest of the world lives. I think that's a good way for us today to read this, right? Because we're Gentiles, but really what he's saying is don't live like the rest of the world. Don't just slip into the culture and live like everybody else lives. You've got a different life to live, and God has outlined it for you in the word. How did the Gentiles walk? Notice the rest of the verse goes on to say, in the futility of their mind. To be futile means to be hopeless and to be helpless. It's in vain. It's futile. Their thinking won't get you where you need to go. Verse number 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because the blindness of their heart. Now remember, this is all because of the futility of their what? Their mind, right? So he says their mind has some issues, their understanding is darkened, and when things are darkened, notice there's blindness that's associated with that. They can't see the light of God's truth. They can't see what to do, where to go, how to do it. They can't see the vistas and the long-term vision that God has for their life. Why? It's futile. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. That means that they're dead. They're separated. And it says, because of the ignorance that is in them. They don't know, guys. They don't understand the word of God like you do. And so their thinking is going to take them to the wrong place. Why? Because of the blindness of their heart. They can't see the spiritual truths. Verse number 19, who being past feeling. Notice that when you don't have understanding of the things of God, your past feeling, you're not going to feel bad about sin. They're numb. They don't even care. In fact, they take pleasure. Some people brag about how sinful they are, how many people they've jumped in bed with, how much drugs they've done, what sort of things that they've done to other people. Oh, man, we really took that guy for a run. Oh, we stole all kinds of stuff. I mean, they brag about it. And their past feeling, they don't even feel bad. And because their past feeling, look at it, they've given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse number 20, this is where it speaks to us, though. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. Listen, you're different. You can't live like the rest of the world lives. It's time for a change. We can't just slip into the culture and assume their identity. No, no, no. You've got a new life to live. You've got a new walk, a new path that God has placed you on. You've not so learned in Christ. Verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. See, when you hear the word of God and when the Spirit of God starts speaking to you about life, now all of a sudden you find out where the truth really is. See, truth is not subjective. Truth is not whatever you feel or what I say. Truth is not our circumstances or the facts. See, the culture thinks that truth is whatever this person says, that's their truth, right? I've had people when I've started to talk to them about God and they say, well, that's not my truth. What are they saying? They're saying, I don't want to be held accountable to what you're saying. Therefore, I'm going to dismiss everything you just said because I feel differently than you do. Or I think differently than you do. But remember, their understanding is darkened. Their thoughts are futile. Because truth is truth regardless of what I say, what I think, what my circumstances. No, Pastor, hold on. Because there are truths that they can't be changed. No, listen. Truth is truth regardless because truth is not governed by our circumstances. Well, there's facts. That's got to be the truth. The facts got to be the truth. No, the facts are the facts. The truth is the truth. Let me prove this to you because the facts are that as the sun travels, light hits a thing and that object will be broken up by the light and the shadow will go a certain direction based on the angle of the light direction. Is that correct? But in the Bible, you'll find out that God turned a shadow to go upstairs when the sun was on the other side. See, the facts were that light was headed this way, therefore the shadow should have gone that way, but the truth was that God changed it and made light do something different in that moment. Facts are that the earth spins on an axis and it rotates around the sun, and it goes around the sun each and every year, one time every year. That's the facts, right? But there was a day that Joshua was fighting a battle and he said, sun stand still and moon in your place until the Lord has had vengeance on his enemy. What happened? At the word of the Lord that was on his lips in that moment, he prophesied and the truth of God made that sun stand still for a whole day while they fought the battle. See, truth is what God says. And that's what Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John the 17th chapter. He said, your word is truth. Whatever God says, that's the truth. It's not about what I feel. That means that if I feel bad, truth changes when I feel good. But truth doesn't change. Truth is true regardless of what I feel or think, or what society says, or what popular opinion is. It can't be your truth or my truth. Listen, it's only the truth of God's word. And it says that the truth is in Christ. Wow. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? The truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. He goes on to say this, that you put off, everybody say put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, where is the lust at? What part? Is that your body, your soul, or your spirit? You say body, right? The passionate desires, but really those lusts are up here in your mind. They can be fueled by your body, but deceitful lust would be ones that the devil is bringing a lie, right? Because the devil deals and operates in lies. So here's a lie, you want this, you desire this. There's a feeling that comes up and your mind gets on this, ooh, I really want that, right? It's all fought right here in your mind. So he says that you put those things off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. Once again, it's all up here in your mind. You can choose where you're going to set your mind, either on the things of the spirit or on the things of the flesh. If it's on the flesh, it's going to bring you to death. But on the spirit, it's going to bring you to life. God connection. You understand? So you have to renew your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on, everybody say put on. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Right there we find what God would have us to do. We've got to put off the old man. renew the mind, and put on the new man. Let me say that again. Put off the old man, renew the mind, and put on the new man. Hey, listen, I keep telling you, you're smart. You guys think you can say that with me? Put off the old man, renew your mind, and put on the new man. Let's try it again. Put off the old man, renew your mind, and put on the new man. One more time. Put off the old man, renew your mind, and put on the new man. That's how simple this is, guys. This is where we live. Let's talk about it for a second. Putting off the old man. Don't live in the flesh. You got to choose what you're going to live in. Are you going to live in the flesh or are you going to live in the spirit? The carnality, the flesh, is the old man. And so I got to choose not to live in the flesh. So what do? I put off the old man. Every day you have a choice when you wake up. You're not feeling it. You're not feeling good. I don't feel like serving God. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praising. I don't want to lift my hands. I don't want to clap my hands. I don't want to shout. I don't want to sing. I don't want to smile. It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. Every day you got a choice. What are you going to put on? You going to put on the old man? You going to put on the new man? Just like you wake up in the morning. Anybody wear jammies, right? Some of you guys wear your clothes that you wore all day. Wake up the next morning and you smell. What do? You take off those clothes. Why? Because they stink. They're old. They need to be washed, right? You make that choice every day. You got to make every day a choice. I'm not going to live the way that I used to live. I'm not going to go about in that mindset of the old man, that fleshly mindset. I'm putting that off. That's not something that I'm going to wear around. That life stinks. Are you listening today? Remember, we stated this last week. We have to identify where our thoughts are. Are they in the flesh or are they in the spirit? If they're in the flesh, then that's the old man. And we have to put that off. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 9 and 10. I'm going to read from the Message paraphrase. I just love the way it applied it to these points that we're talking about today. Look at what it says. Colossians 3, 9 and 10, the Message up on the overheads. It says, don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put into the fire. That's some great imagery, isn't it? Filthy set of old clothes you stripped off, but not only did you strip it off, you put it in the fire. Done with it. Never going back to it again. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. There's a funny story that came from the LA Times. It was in the 1980s that the America's Cup was being held in Australia. It's a boat race, a sailing race. And so the team from Italy was there and they were all dressed to the nines in their Gucci outfits. Gucci had sponsored the sailing team that year. And so they decided that they wanted to see a kangaroo. And so they rented a car and they drove off into the outback. And they're going to go and find a kangaroo somewhere. And so they drive off and they're out there. And for hours they're driving and they don't see a single kangaroo the whole time. Guy had his camera ready, was looking for, you know, picture of a kangaroo, and they just couldn't find one. So finally they decided, you know what, let's go back. We've been out here for too long. We got to get back. And so they flipped the car around. As they flipped the car around, a kangaroo hops right in front of the car, and bang, they hit it. Kangaroo goes down. They are all mortified. We just killed a kangaroo. We wanted to see one, and we ended up murdering one. Oh, my gosh. They all jump out of the car. They're all standing in a circle around the kangaroo looking at it. And it isn't moving. It's just sitting there. And so they're like, oh, man. Well, I guess we got this in kangaroo. What do we do? Do we tell someone? Do we move it off the road? I mean, what do you do in this situation? One guy was like, well, you know what? We'll move it off the road, and then we'll go tell someone, I guess. But let me get a picture of it. And they're like, you want a picture of a dead kangaroo? And one of the guys had an idea. He said, take off his coat, his Gucci jacket. He said, here, watch this. Let's have some fun. Put the Gucci jacket from the sailing team on the kangaroo. Dressed it up. And they propped it up in between them, getting ready to take a picture with the kangaroo. They thought that this was fun. But what they didn't realize was that they didn't kill the kangaroo. They just stunned it. It was knocked out. Picking that kangaroo up, all of a sudden the blood was flowing and things were moving again. And all of a sudden that kangaroo came to and jumped up, scared everybody to death. And they all jumped back and the kangaroo just hopped off out into the bush along with the Gucci jacket that had his wallet in one pocket and the keys to the car in the other pocket. You know, it's been said that sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. You see, we can't dress up in those old, ill-fitting clothes. We can't dress things up. Oh, it's okay. even though that's the old man. It's all right. I'll just put it on and let me just do this for a moment. Let me just do me right now. No. You've got to put off the old man. You can't be dressing things up. Can't be playing with it. Don't mess with sin because sin is going to mess with your life. It's time to strip that off and get rid of it. Don't live in the flesh. But after we put off the old man, anybody remember the second part? We got to do what? Renew the mind. You got to let the Spirit renew your mind. See, this is not just mind over matter. This is not just putting your mind, not just thinking happy thoughts that gets this done. No, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that your mind will be renewed. See, we said this, that your spirit man is renewed. When you're born again, you become brand new spiritually. Brand new, right? Your body one day will be renewed. Whether Jesus comes or whether you die and you go to be with him, there's coming a day in the resurrection, you'll get a new body. But your soul realm has to be renewed. Has to be brought back to the things of God. Remember, so far in this series, we talked about presenting our members as instruments of righteousness, yielding ourselves to Christ, meaning to offer it up, to put it in the service of. See, this can only happen with a renewed mind. Because if you still are thinking the way that you used to think, then you'll think that serving God is just a set of religion, a set of rules and regulations, things that you can come to God that you can do. But when you cross over into the Holy Spirit and you start to realize, man, it's so much more. This is relational. This is powerful. This is transformative. This is something fresh and something new that I never experienced before. Let me show this to you in the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 12. Turn back to Romans with me. I thought it would be okay if we went to chapter 12 because we won't be there for a couple years in this Romans line upon line, precept upon precept preaching that we're doing here at The Rock. Is that okay? Is that all right? You just keep hanging with us. We'll get here eventually. But look at what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. I'm glad two people were excited about the Bible. The rest of you guys will get you saved at the end of the church service, okay? Big altar call today. Praise the Lord. I'm playing. But Romans chapter 12, verse 2, these great verses to put to memory. And it says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world. Notice the old man. That's the way we used to live life. The word conform means to be pressed into a mold. You ever played with Play-Doh or, some of you guys had Silly Putty, right? You pressed it into something and then you pulled it out and it looked like that thing. Okay, you don't like that illustration. How about some of you bakers for Thanksgiving? Maybe you had a Jell-O mold or you made a Bundt cake or something like that. And you put that into a mold and then after you baked it, it came out looking like that thing, whether it was a turkey or a tree or a cornucopia. Come on, somebody. We're going with the Thanksgiving illustration today. But it was pressed into to make that image. See, that's the same thing with our lives. He says, don't be pressed into the image of what this world wants you to look like. There's going to be pressure, things that come against your life that are going to try and conform you to the way of this world. He says, don't do that. Don't be conformed to this world. But be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Now listen, I'm not trying to start a theological fight. I just see this way, and I want to submit this to your thinking. I don't think that's three different wills of God. I think that's one will of God. It is the will of God, but it is good, it is perfect, and it is acceptable. Three attributes of the same will of God, all right? But that can only happen when your mind is renewed. How do we renew our mind? It's a spiritual thing that takes place. Remember, the word of God is spirit, and it is life. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it talks about marriage, but it talks about the washing of the water of the word. See, one of the criticisms of Christianity is people have said this, man, all you Christians are just brainwashed. And I would say yes and amen, I sure am, because my mind was dirty before Christ. And I got into the word of God, and the word of God started to wash my brain, and now I got a clean brain. My brain has been washed by the blood and by the word of God. See, this is like the bronze laver that the priests used to dip into. They could get clean inside of it, but it was hammered out. It was bronze. It was metal. And then they had a reflective surface. See, the word likens itself to a mirror where you can see yourself in it. You can see where you're off. You can see where you're dirty. But it's like that pool of water that not only can you see where you're off and dirty, it also gives you the power to wash up and to get clean in the sight of God. That's how you renew your mind, is with the washing of the water of the Word of God. See, your mind will be transformed as you start to gaze into the goodness of God, as you start to see life as God would have it for you, as you can start to see the things that God has outlined and given to you and the blessings that await you. It only happens when you get into the Bible. And that's why biblical literacy is so important. We have to get into the Word of God. I would encourage, if you have not started reading the Bible, start reading the Bible. Every day, get a scripture. Every day get a verse, get a paragraph, get whatever you get something that God speaks to you. Press in and learn something about God. My goodness, get as much as you can, study the Word, and let the Word study you. Allow God to speak to you. Get a journal and write out what you think God is saying to you. Put down your questions about it. Make it intentional. We've got Bible reading plans in the Rock Life magazine that you can go through it in a year. There's free ones on the Bible apps. All kinds of ways to get into the Scriptures. Because as you do, it will transform your thinking. You know, Pastor Jess and I, we have something that we do every year, and that is that we go through our closets seasonally in the winter and the summer, because how many know in California we only have two seasons? It's hot and less hot, right? And so every now and then water falls out of the sky and everybody freaks out. But we look through our closets and we say, if I haven't touched it in a year, it's going. That's kind of our rule of thumb. If I haven't touched it. But the problem is when we come to something, we go, oh man, I spent a lot of money on this. And I haven't touched it in a year. It needs to go, but it's still good. It needs to go, but man, there's no wrinkles, there's no scuffs, no stains. I mean, no rips, no tears. It's a really nice garment, but man, it's been sitting there so long, it's collecting dust, and it's out of style. But it's good, and we wrestle with getting rid of these things. But could it be that God is saying to us, hey, it's time to let go of that old thinking? It's time to let go. Yes, you spent a lot of time investing in that, but now is the time to let go of those things. You don't need to touch it. You put off the old man, and you haven't gone back to it. It's time to get renewed thinking. It's time to get a new life. It's time to start moving forward into the things that God has for you. Think about it this way. What if your younger self saw you wearing styles that you were wearing back in the day, right? I never thought that I would get to the age where my clothing from when I grew up would be considered vintage, but it has happened. My son has a friend who goes thrifting, you know, he goes to the stores to get vintage clothing. He came walking in with a shirt, and I was like, I wore that shirt. It's kind of crazy. You know what I mean? I used to have a pair of pants, brown corduroy pants. Pastor Jess said, these are old, that's the old man. She threw them away. I was so mad at her. I think this guy came in wearing my brown corduroy pants. I was like, where'd you get those, man? I want them back. How many of you ever remember the Jenko jeans? Come on, we're in San Bernardino. Okay, cross colors. How about those ones? You guys remember that? I remember my brother wearing cross colors backwards because of crisscross. You know what I'm saying? But think about this. What if my brother at 48 years old, what if his 16-year-old self saw his 48-year-old self wearing some cross colors? He would probably beat the snot out of him. Like, what are you doing, man? Grow up. That's for me, not for you. Same thing. What about when you were first born again? That young Christian that was still struggling, still trying to figure life out, but then got a hold of the Word. What if he came and he saw you wearing those old fashions still? Would he give you the fivefold ministry and knock you out? Like, what are you doing, man? It's time to move on. You shouldn't be touching that. You've got to get rid of that old way. It's not fitting for you any longer. See, which brings us to the last part. We've got to put off the old man. We've got to renew our minds and let the Spirit renew our minds. But now we've got to put on the new man. You've got to live life in the Spirit. It's time to live a new life, time to live the life that God has for you. That happens by choice. It happens when we decide, man, I'm not going to live in the flesh any longer. I'm going to live in the Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, the message once again goes on to say this, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. I absolutely love that because, you know, we can choose what kind of life we want to live. And there's a lot of people, you got to be intentional with your life. You got to have a 5-year plan. You got to have a 12-year plan. You need to think about what you want in life. And those are good things. Goal setting, all that stuff is good. But what about letting God pick a life for you? You know, I didn't pick this life. I didn't set out to be the pastor of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. I set out to follow Jesus. That was it. I fell in love with Jesus, and I just put my nose in his back and followed wherever he went. This is where I ended up. But along the way, God custom tailored a life that was way better than anything that I could have dreamt of myself. I had rock star dreams. I wanted to travel. I wanted to do music. And then someday I would use that platform to tell someone about Jesus somehow. I had, you know, all these weird thoughts in my head about that. And when I look at what God has done in my life, I say, God, thank God I didn't have that other life that I wanted. Thank God my plans didn't work out. God, I thank you because your plans are way better. God, you're doing a great job with this life. If God can do that with a kid with rock star dreams from Moreno Valley, what can God do with you? What kind of custom life does God want to tailor for you? What kind of adventure does God want to take you on? What kind of things does God want to do in you? God wants to change the world with you. Me? I was born in the IE. Born on the wrong side of the tracks. Born with the wrong color skin. Born without education, without resource, without any money. Born without any educational background. My goodness, we just knew the streets. That's all we knew. We didn't know nothing about serving God or doing anything. Listen, as you get your mind renewed and you put on the Spirit, God has a custom life that He can take you and you and you and you and you and me, and He can make something great. It makes the world stand back in awe, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you. And then He lists some things: compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength. Oh, that's so good. I got to say that in a deep voice: quiet strength. Discipline, be even-tempered, content with second place. You say, I'm not content with second place, I want first place. Well, didn't Jesus come as one who serves? We got to learn the way of the Master. Content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of whatever else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Some of you guys remember the older American Express commercial, don't leave home without it. Hey, don't leave home without love. Everywhere you go, with everyone you meet, at all times, in all situations, it's appropriate. It's time to love. Wear the garment that God has given for you. Let me show this to you, because some of you guys thought that maybe we'd be auctioning off this beautiful garment over here on the other side, but that's mine. I'm not auctioning it off. We're not getting rid of that. It's not for sale. But I just want to show this to you because, you know, I've been wearing the old man this whole time. And even though it looks good and, you know, it had its day, this isn't fitting for me any longer as a Christian. You got to put off the old man. Make a choice every day when you get up. Every day, life comes at you. No, I'm going to put off the old man. I'm going to renew my mind with the Word of God. I'm going to get washed in the water of the Word, cleaned up. And then, ooh, look at this new life that God has for me. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I think that looks better, don't you? I think that looks good. You know, this is made out of skin. Why do I point that out? Because Adam and Eve in the garden, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, with something from the earth, the product of a tree. See, trees represented mankind. There's an old man that we can try and live in, we can try and wear, we can try and do our way, or God made tunics of skin for them, covered their sin. Covered them so they were no longer naked. See, fig leaves would eventually dry out, wither, and wear away, and they'd be exposed once again. Their nakedness would be out there for everyone to see, but God covers us. God puts on Himself. The Bible says that we wear Christ. Put on Christ. Put on Christ. Put on the new man. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Every day it's a choice. I'm going to put off the old man. I'm going to renew my mind with the Word of God. And I'm going to put on the new man. Now, the God kind of life that He has custom tailored for me. It's an adventure that God's going to take you on that you won't regret. Did you guys enjoy the series? Did you guys get some? You guys know how to control the flesh? Hallelujah. Let's do this. Would you just take a moment, no one getting up, no one leaving during this time. Would you just take a moment and say, God, what are you speaking to me? And then ask the Holy Spirit, let Him speak to you. Listen for His voice right now. What is God speaking to you? For some of you, God is talking to you about putting off the old man. Some old things that you need to get rid of. Maybe today God has given you some scriptures or a word or a phrase that's renewing your mind. You need to write it down and take note of it. Meditate on it. What does that mean? Roll it around your thinking. Talk about it with your spouse or a faith-filled friend. Bring it up again and again in your thinking. That's what meditation is, not losing your mind or making tones with your mouth, but just speaking it, saying it, thinking about it. That's meditation. Meditate on His Word. What is God saying to me about this? How's God renewing my mind? Is there a cleansing? Maybe it's a seed that God's putting in that as you plant it will transform into a plant that produces fruit. Maybe today God is talking about putting on the new man, what that looks like practically. Ways in which He wants you to walk, that you don't walk like the rest of the world walks, but now you walk like your big brother, Jesus Christ. You walk with God like Enoch, who pleased God, and God took him from the earth. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth today, God. Your word is truth, Lord. Cleanse us with it. Wash us with it, God. We choose today to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is renewed according to Christ. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name. We're all in agreement. We say amen. Amen, amen. Hey, I'm going to just take this moment, and I want to make sure that your heart and life is right with Jesus. Some of you guys never gave your heart and life to Jesus. And I love you enough to just tell you the truth. You're not going to make it to heaven. The Bible tells us that the one way to heaven is God's way. Can't get there your way, my way, someone leading church committee's way. Not all roads lead to heaven. There's one way to heaven, and that's God's way. And Jesus said it like this in John, the third chapter, you must be born again. Now, I know that people turn off when they hear being born again because they think of born again Christians as goofy, weird. Maybe they saw a celebrity that got born again or saved, and they say, I don't like that celebrity, and so I don't want to be born again. But there's no other way to heaven. You don't have to be like that celebrity, but if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, which you do, you must be born again. You say, well, I've been a good person, but do you know that nowhere in the Bible says you can be good enough to get into heaven? It's not there. Check it out. See for yourself. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can't be good enough to earn your way into heaven. I don't care how good you are. There's going to be a lot of good people that die and go to hell. Let's make sure you're not one of them. Sometimes people say, but Pastor, I was raised in church. Do you know that being raised in church doesn't get you into heaven? Nowhere in the Bible says being raised in church, parents tell you you're Christian, makes you a Christian. Some people say, but I'm here in church right now as an adult. That's great. I'm glad you're here. Glad you're watching online. That doesn't assure you a place in heaven. There'd be a lot of people that attended churches that aren't born again that don't make it to heaven. It's a sad reality, sad fact. And today I'm loving enough to tell you the truth. You're not going to make it. Sometimes people say, but Pastor, I got involved in my last church. I didn't just sit. I helped out. Carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader. Even got a membership card to that church and taught the Bible classes. Those are all wonderful things to do. None of them will get into heaven. Remember, you must be born again. Not you must serve or get involved in a church. That's not how you get to heaven. You must be born again. Oh, Pastor, I know that born again people, they know God. I know God. Don't worry about me. I know about Jesus. Someone was witnessing one time. They asked me, do you know Jesus? And I said, yeah. And they said, oh, then we don't need to talk to you. We'll go find someone who needs Jesus. And they went to witness to somebody else. I know God. I know Jesus. Know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs of Christmas every year of my life. Got a nativity set on my lawn. Made sure of that. I know Jesus. I could quote scriptures, Old and New Testament. Yeah, so can the devil. The devil's not going to heaven. He can quote scriptures. Demons believe, the Bible says, and they tremble. Why? Because they know they're not going to make it. Everybody look up here for a second. Even online, look at your screen right now. It's not about what you have up here in your head. It's not about mental acknowledgement of who Jesus is. Being able to quote a scripture or sing a song. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, or involvement. It's about your heart. See, being born again is not talking about your physical, natural man. It's talking about your spirit man. We said this in the message, the real you must be born again. You're disconnected from the life of God and sin. But when you surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ, he comes in and he makes you brand new on the inside. You say, oh, Pastor, okay, I prayed that prayer. But listen, it's more than just a prayer. It's a life laid down. See, because you can pray a prayer and say some words and then live like the devil and never make it to heaven. This is all of your heart, and it's all of your life. It's a simple surrender of everything that you have to God. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. That means that it's not just a one-time prayer, and then you never come back to God again. No, it's all of your heart, and it's all of your life for the rest of your life. A lifelong commitment to following Jesus. That's what this is really all about. And there are those of you in this place, maybe you're raised in church, maybe you prayed a prayer at one time, maybe you've been a good person, but you're recognizing and realizing that that's not going to make it. And today, you also recognize that you need to be born again. I want to give you that opportunity. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this Bible. Bang, just like that. When you hear my hand pop on the Bible, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're making the statement, I want to be born again. I want to head for heaven and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You put it right back down. You say, whoa, 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 wait a second, time out. You're going to point and count? I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment is to end up in hell forever? Listen, your flesh is going to try and talk you out of this. Put the flesh under the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil's going to try and talk you out of this. Tell the devil to go to hell. You're not going with him. That's where he belongs. You don't belong there. And get ready to get your hands up. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, he says, I will deny you. Today, your call. Today, your choice. You can sit there and do nothing, and that is a choice. Or how about this? Get right with God in a safe and friendly place. Say, Pastor, I got more time. I'm young, I'm spry, I got my health, I'll be good. But listen, the Bible says today's the day of salvation. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Jesus could come back at any time, like we mentioned. He's coming soon. There's only a few signs that we're waiting on. And I would imagine that we're going to see those things very soon. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Jesus could come back at any moment. But even if not, even if he doesn't come back in our lifetime, we're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one bomb, one breath away, one good earthquake. And your life could be over. Are you willing to gamble your eternity on whether or not you have more time? I hope you do. But I also know too many times people have come to the house of God, been here one day, and the next moment they're gone. Let's make sure that's not you. You need to secure your eternal future with Jesus Christ. Today, you need to make a decision. You need to give God all of your heart, and you need to give God all of your life. Who should raise your hand in a moment? If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. If you're not sure about your salvation, come on today. Hey, listen up, make sure. Don't just slip past this moment. Don't let it pass you by. You need to take control. You need to understand this is a choice, and it is an eternal choice. It's important. Give it the attention that this moment deserves. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you've been in church all your life, you never crossed that line, surrendering all of your heart and life to Jesus. Come on, you can do that in this moment. Or finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe you're lukewarm, maybe you're half-hearted, maybe you're complacent in your Christianity. Jesus said, when I come, I want to find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you from my mouth. That shows me half-hearted, lukewarm Christians are not real Christians at all, because they will be ejected and rejected from the body of Christ. If you're backslidden, you've found yourself in places you never thought you'd be, doing things you never thought you'd do, today you can repent, you can turn, you can come home like the prodigal, make a fresh rededication to the Lord. I'm going to count to three, pop my hand on my Bible, get ready to get your hands up all across this auditorium, back in the family rooms, wherever you're at in the foyer, down at the cafe, even online, all across the nation and around the world, get ready to get your hands up. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. Thank you. There's one. God bless you. There's two over here. Yes. God bless you. Where else? There's three up top. Got you right there. Yes. Thank you. God bless you. There's four in the back. Got you over there. There's five in the family room. Six in the family room. Got you guys. Thank you. Thank you. There's six. There's seven up on top. Got you over there. Yeah. There's eight right here. Thanks for the wave. That helps me. There's eight. There's number nine down here. All right. Hey, right up front. Yeah, I got you. Thank you. God bless you. There's 10 over here. Yeah, 10. Got you right there. Yeah. 11 over here. Thank you. God bless you. Who else today need to surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ? I didn't embarrass them, and I won't embarrass you. 12. Got you. Yeah. Good call. Good choice. Anybody else want to make sure? Saying, today, I need to get right with God. Come on. It's a safe and friendly place. No one's criticizing, judging, or condemning. We love you. Anybody else? There's about a dozen wise people. Anybody else? Just want to give you one more moment. If you're on the fence and kind of wondering, should I or should I not? Hey, come on. God's speaking to you right now. You should. Come on, let's go for God today. It's so simple, so easy. Anybody else? Anybody else? Last call, last call. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to pray together. Anybody else? Right here? Yeah, 13. Gotcha. Thanks for the help, guys. Appreciate that. Anybody else? All right, let's give the Lord a hand for 13 wise people. Well, we had a baking illustration. We got a baker's dozen of people giving their hearts and lives to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Hey, let's all stand. No one leaves during this time. All 13 of you, number 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, you should have raised your hand, but you didn't. It's not too late. Get a hold of your coat, purse, sweater, Bible, a friend of your friend. Get in the aisle and meet me up front right now. Come on down. Let's welcome them, church. Come on, let's welcome them. Give them a hand. Come on down. Let's pray together right here at the altar. You believe in your heart and confess in your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Come to the altar and let's pray together. Come on down right now, even if you didn't raise your hand. Come on, get out of your seat. Get in the aisle and meet us up front. They're coming right now. Come on. They're coming. Just walk with the precious blood of Jesus. Come on, you can come too. Jesus Christ, come to the altar. Come on, if you need to come, just get out of your seat, get in the aisle and meet us up front right now. Church family, nudge your neighbors. Say, come on, friend, if you need to go, I'll go with you, then bring them. Bring them down right now. They're still coming. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, if you need to come, just come. If you raised your hand or you didn't raise your hand, come on. It's not too late. Let's pray together right now. Come on down. They're still coming. Hallelujah. They're still coming. If you haven't checked in with your neighbor, check in. Come on, there's room for you. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. There's room for you here at the altar. The love of God is waiting for you. Arms wide open. Come on. They're still coming. They're still coming. Hallelujah. They're still coming. Anyone else? Come on. Look at this. Whole families are coming right now. Come on. Come on. Let's give God praise for that. We're so grateful. Look at this. Look at God. Look at what God is doing. The Spirit of God is drawing people to Himself. If you need to come, just come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful when people come to give their hearts and lives to Jesus. It's the best moment of your life right now. In fact, it's the best moment of my life right now, too. I get no greater joy than to see people get right with God. Transformation's about ready to happen. The old man, gone. About ready to put on the new man, which is renewed according to Christ. The past is in the past. You've got a great future ahead of you. Get a brand new start with a brand new heart. I want to encourage you to be consistent in what God is about ready to do in your life. If you go to the gym one time, you don't get strong. You have to be consistent over time. Same thing with church, same thing with God. It's when you surrender every day. It's when you keep following, keep praying, keep reading, keep pressing into what God has for you. Keep making the right choice to put off the old man and put on the new man every day. It's a choice. Keep choosing to follow God every day. In fact, make a choice right now. I'm gonna give this church a year. Just gonna plug in, plant, let God minister to me through teaching here. If you got a church, a home church, and you're here from out of the area, plug in there. But if you don't have a church, hey, we're putting in our application. Keep coming. As you do, God is going to bring you on an adventure like I talked about and do great things in your life. In fact, next Thanksgiving, you'll be around the table saying, thank God. Look at what God has done in my life. I guarantee. All right? Those thoughts in mind, let's pray. I'm going to lead you in a short, simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart. I'll give you short, simple phrases to say. I want you to repeat them out loud if you have the ability. If you mess up on some words or don't understand everything, that's okay. All right, you're still saved. You're still born again. Everybody's going to join in together with you, even online. Come on, join us in this prayer in the cafe, in the foyer. If you're praying this prayer, pray with us right now. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Say this. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus to give you all my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past and give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that He came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days. Because from now on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. I'm a Christian. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey guys, welcome to the family. Now listen, you can hear the excitement. We are so excited for you guys and your new walk with God. Now listen, when I got saved, I was 15 years old. I'd been raised in church, but I needed some help. I needed a friend. I had some friends that came alongside me, taught me some things out of the Bible, encouraged me, right? So we want to give you that same opportunity. This is my friend, Pastor Joel, waving at you. Really good guy. Okay, nothing weird's going to go on. He wants to do three things. Give you some free stuff. Free literature, find out what just happened, what to do next in your walk with God. Connect you with some great people. We call them faith-filled friends. You know, your friends in the world are going to take you back to the world. But friends in church, they're going to help you to get strong in the ways of the Lord, okay? He'll talk to you about how that works. It's easy. It's free, okay? And you need to do it. Take a couple minutes of your time. Get your friends and family that are here. They'll wait for you. Or if your children are in the children's ministry, they're safe until you get there, okay? But then the third thing he's going to do, you ready for this one? He's going to let you go after a couple minutes, okay? Make a left turn. Follow Pastor Drew all right this way. Come on, let's give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock, where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.